grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabi Allah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. MashaAllah. Viewers of Madhuri Channel, welcome to the Rise and Shine. And as you know, on Rise and Shine every day, we start the day by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we have the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. With regards, viewers of the channel, to the blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, it is narrated that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "O people, the one amongst you to attain salvation on the day of judgment from its horrors and its terrifying valleys will be the one who would recite his salat upon me in abundance in the world." Allah. Viewers of the channel, please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak. And the reason why we give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak at the beginning of every single program is so that we become habitual. We make it a habit amongst ourselves to recite Durood e Pak. And we spread this habit around. You know, good habits, if good habits spread and everybody benefits from it, then the person who spread that habit, inshallah, will benefit more. So try not only make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak, but try and remember these blessings and tell these blessings to other people as well, so that inshallah azawajal, they also become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak. And I pray to Allah azawajal, that day comes when everywhere around the world, every Muslim, 1.7, 1.8 billion Muslims around the world, are sending Durood e Pak every single day of their lives. Inshallah azawajal. As you know, viewers of Madhuri Channel, after listening to the blessing of reciting Durood e Pak, we had the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. We're now going to have the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru, jo nihayat meherban, rahm wala.
للرجال نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون.
مردوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے.
وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كثر نصيبا مفروضا.
اور عورتوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے, ترکہ تھوڑا ہو یا بہت, حصہ ہے اندازہ باندھا ہوا.
وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا.
پھر بانٹتے وقت اگر رشتہ دار اور یتیم اور مسکین آ جائیں تو اس میں سے انہیں بھی کچھ دو اور ان سے اچھی بات کہو.
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا.
اور ڈرے وہ لوگ کہ اگر اپنے بعد ناتواں اولاد چھوڑتے تو ان کا کیسا انہیں خطرہ ہوتا, تو چاہیے کہ اللہ سے ڈریں اور سیدھی بات کریں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madhuri Channel, what a beautiful way to start our day by listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. And if only we could make it a habit of that. And I pray that, yes, you know, if you watch Rise and Shine every day, then inshallah, you will get that. But even better than that would be if we sat down and recited the Holy Quran in our houses as a family. We recited it recited the translation, read the commentaries as well, and so that we can all benefit from this and learn so much as well. The Quran is our code book for life. It is our manual for life. It's our book of guidance that we should need to learn and follow. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we understand what is required for us. Because obviously every Muslim's aim is to attain paradise. And if you have a goal that you want to attain, then you need to know the steps to acquire that goal. So if you want to be successful in business, you need to know you do A, B, C, D, and I will do that. In the same way, every Muslim's aim should be to attain paradise. And the only way we can attain paradise is by acquiring the knowledge of those deeds that we should do and acquiring the knowledge of those deeds that we should not do. And that can only be done by acquiring the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I pray that we all make a habit of reciting or listening to the Quran with translation and commentary on a daily basis. Viewers of Madhi Channel, as you watch Arise and Shine every morning, you know that after we have the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran, we also have the privilege of listening to a kalam of the day, inshaAllah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah. Wa karam hai shahbat ha tera nahi sunta hi nahi mangne wala tera te ڈال جھرکیاں کھائیں کہاں چھوڑ کے صدقہ تیرا صلی اللہ علیک یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ عرش حق ہے مسند دفعت رسول اللہ کی عرش حق ہے مسند رفعت رسول اللہ کی مسند رفعت رسول اللہ کی دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی قبر میں لہرائیں گے تا حشر چشم نور کے قبر میں لہرائیں گے تا حشر چشم نور کے جلوہ فرما ہوگی جب طلعت حضرت رسول اللہ کی جلوہ فرما ہوگی جب طلعت رسول اللہ کی دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی لا ورب العرش جس کو جو ملا ان سے ملا لا ورب العرش جس کو جو ملا ان سے ملا بٹتی ہے کونین میں بٹتی ہے کونین میں نعمت رسول اللہ کی بٹتی ہے بٹتی ہے بٹتی ہے کونین میں نعمت رسول اللہ کی دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی اہل سنت سنت کا ہے بیرا پار اصحاب حضور نجم ہے اور ناؤ ہے عطرت رسول اللہ کی نجم ہے نجم ہے اور ناؤ ہے عطرت رسول اللہ کی دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی ٹوٹ جا حشر کو کھل جائے گی طاقت رسول اللہ کی حشر کو کھل جائے گی طاقت رسول اللہ کی دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی ہم بھی کاری وہ کریم ان کا خدا ان سے فضول ہم بھی کاری وہ کریم ان کا خدا ان سے فضول اور نہ کہنا نہیں عادت رسول اللہ کی اور نہ کہنا نہیں عادت رسول اللہ کی دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ حکیم اے رضا کب ممکن ہے پھر مدحت رسول اللہ کی، تجھ سے کب ممکن ہے پھر مدحت رسول اللہ کی، عرش حق ہے مسند رفعت رسول اللہ کی، دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی، دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی، وہ جہنم میں گیا جو ان سے مستغنی ہوا، وہ جہنم مستغنی ہوا، ہے خلیل اللہ کو حاجت رسول اللہ کی، ہے خلیل اللہ کو حاجت رسول اللہ کی، ہے خلیل اللہ کو حاجت رسول اللہ کی، دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی، سورج الٹے پاؤں پلٹے اور چاند اشارے سے ہو چار، اندھے منکر دیکھ لے قدرت رسول اللہ کی، دیکھنی ہے حشر میں عزت رسول اللہ کی، عرش حق ہے مسند رفعت رسول اللہ کی.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Mother Channel, I hope that you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in this studio. But what are we going to talk about today? I forgot to mention that, didn't I, before the break? Today we're going to talk about something that it's something that needs to be controlled. Yeah, something that needs to be controlled. And I think we've talked before about anger, and anger is something that we need to control as well. But we also need to control our carnal desires, our lusts is something that we need to control as well. And if we can control our nafs, can control our desires, then inshallah azza wa jal, we can be very successful. In light of this, it is written on page 367, volume 1 of the two book, Ayun al-Hikayat, which is a book that's published by Maktabat al-Madina. It states in here that the renowned and blessed personality of the Qadriya Razviya Silsila, spiritual Sufi order, Sayyidina Abu Qasim Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, stated that I experienced a state of discontent, restlessness and uneasiness one night. I kept myself busy worshipping, but the inner peace and tranquility was very far from me. I struggled to attain concentration, humility and fear, but it was in vain. I then started reciting the glorious Quran, but I still was deprived of inner peace and concentration. What was keeping me awake from the pleasure of worshipping? I wondered about this. Eventually, he says that in the last quarter of the night, I put my mantle on, which is like a scarf on my shoulder, and I came out of the house. After walking some distance, I saw a person wrapped in a mantle, in a scarf. When I approached him, he raised his head and he asked me, "Why are you so worried? Has the doomsday taken place?" I question, "Has the appointed time of the day of judgment approached?" That person replied, "No, but I am just asking whether are you going to attain inner peace after experiencing the state of agitation and uneasiness." I responded, "Yes, I have really come out to attain contentment of heart, and I want to know why I've been attaining it tonight." I then inquired from that person, "Do you want anything from me?" And he answered in the affirmative, and he said, "Oh, Abu Qasim, is there any situation where the disease itself becomes the cure, the disease becomes the antidote?" I replied, "Yes, there is one such situation. Listen carefully." And I said, "All diseases of your heart will ward off when you oppose the desires of your nafs, and the same diseases themselves will become an antidote for you." Allahu Akbar. Having listened to this, that man took a sigh of relief and he said, "I have been answered this question 7 times tonight, but I had the strong desire to listen to the answer from you." Allahu Akbar. "By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I have heard it from you." Saying that, he departed there and was never seen again. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we can see from this that Sayyidina Abu Qasim Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he was a great blessed personality of the Qadriya Razviya Silsila. And he mentioned a great prescription to that person that when he would oppose his carnal desires, when he would oppose his nafs, then all of his spiritual diseases would be removed for him. And the same diseases themselves, they will become the antidotes. I.e., it is learned through that mentioned description that fulfilling the carnal desire and satisfying the lust is a deadly epidemic that fills the heart with the filth of sins. Ponder over this, viewers on the channel. Why is there nothing virtuous that affects our hearts? And we can attain no pleasure in worshipping. You need to ask yourself that, why is it that I am not enjoying the ibadah that I'm doing? Why is it that when I'm reading my namaz, I'm not getting the spiritual uplift that we hear about people? We hear that people, when they read the namaz, they are completely at content, they feel at peace, they have tranquility. Why? Why am I not getting this? What is the problem with me? There's something wrong with me. Without doubt, it's not the namaz, because billions of people are reading the namaz and they're getting the spiritual content, but I'm not getting it. So what is wrong? You know, in the same way that they'll say that, you know, if I drink tea, if everybody drinks tea and it upsets someone's stomach, for example, then it's not the tea's fault. It's the stomach's fault. The person has a bad stomach. In the same way that I need to ask myself that the namaz is there. There's nothing wrong with the namaz. The problem is me. Why am I not getting this spiritual uplift? And maybe it's because I'm not controlling my nafs. Maybe it's because I'm following these desires of the nafs. Maybe it's because I'm following all of these lusts. And as a result of that, I'm not spiritually content. Allahu Akbar. With regards to, if we were to put a definition of satisfying the lust, it is stated that fulfilling each and every carnal desire of the nafs blindly, irrespective of it being permissible or impermissible, is the terms of satisfying the lust, and it is followed by sheer loss. A warning, you know, with regards to this, that's what a definition of, you know, satisfying our lust are. And it's not just, you know, when you talk about lust, yeah, a lot of people talk about lust as being that physical lust. That is one thing. But there are many other lusts that we can talk about. Lust for food, lust for all this desire for all of these things. And we'll talk about the physical lust that maybe is what you first understood by this comment today. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But with regards to following our desires, yeah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, there are 3 destructive things. Number one, being obsessed with greed. Number two, following the carnal desires. And number three, a person who becomes self-conceited. Allahu Akbar, viewers on the channel. Being obsessed with greed, following the carnal desires, and a person who becomes self-conceited. Viewers of the channel, if we can manage to control, to overpower our carnal desires, we will also get at the evil habits of of various kinds of sins that we commit, if we can control our desires, control our nafs, then we'll get out of that habit. And that's what happens is we don't, you know, we want to do something. We want to see something. We want to eat something. We want to do something. But if we can control it, and that is what it is your nafs wants you to do this. Your nafs wants to have, you know, you want to have a daily spliff. You want some drugs today. You want that high today. You want that buzz today. But if you can control yourself, even when it comes to smoking, if you can control yourself, when it comes to alcohol, if you can control yourself, if it comes to adultery, if you can control yourself, if it comes to gambling, if you can control yourself, it's all about self-control, viewers and listeners. And this is what we need to learn, this self-control. I remember many years ago that there was a person, he was a gambler. And he said to me that he was also a taxi driver. And he was trying to kick the habit of gambling. Because, astaghfirullah, what had happened to him is he got in such a state that he actually lost his house in gambling. He lost all the furniture in gambling. And I remember speaking to him about this, I will call it an illness, because for him, it was, without doubt, it was an illness. He said to me that I'd be driving my car down a road, and when a casino would come, the car would automatically go there. Now, the car automatically would not go there, but he said to me, I could not control myself. I could not keep the car away from that casino, that place where, you know, gambling takes place. And what is that, viewers and listeners? That is because his inner nafs, his carnal desires, his desires are there, that he wants to go there. He just can't stop himself from going there. That attraction, that addiction, if you want to use the word, the addiction is there, that people become addicted to gambling. People become addicted to gambling. People become addicted to alcohol, to taking drugs, to committing adultery. All of these things are addictions. And what are addictions, viewers of the channel? Addictions are where you have not been able to control your nafs. You've not been able to control your carnal desires. They have got the better of you, and you let them lead you rather than you leading them. That's what addiction is. Any form of addiction is your desires have taken over. And what happens is it may seem as if, oh, it's nothing. It's a one-off. Even a one-off is wrong from a Sharia point of view. A one-off committing of adultery, a one-off gambling, a one-off taking alcohol and drugs, this is haram in Islam. But you might think, well, it's only once. But that once leads you down the path. And again, viewers and listeners, slightly aside from the topic here, this is one of the beauties of Islam. I have personally come to learn that Islam is not only the cure for illnesses, but it's also the prevention of illnesses as well. You know, you'll get people who say, well, you know, it's been scientifically proven. People will say this. Oh, it's been scientifically proven that if you drink one glass of wine a day, then it's good for your health. What does Islam say? No wine, no alcohol, full stop. Because what happens is even if for one second, let's agree with science. For one second, we'll agree with science. And that's debatable whether it's beneficial or not. But okay, we'll agree with it for one second. If you take one, then you might want two. Then you might want three. Then you might want four, and so on, and so on, and so on. But if you don't even open the door, you don't even go to that place, yeah? If you don't even go to that house, you're not going to find out what's inside that house. So don't even go there. And that's what Islam teaches us. In the same way, when you talk about drugs, you know, people will say, oh, if you're going to take drugs, then don't share needles. You know, when people inject themselves, don't share the needles, because when you share the needles, you can be infected by all sorts of other illnesses. What does Islam say? No drugs. Don't even go down that path. Because what happens is when people take drugs, they won't take the hard heroin, cocaine. They'll take the lighter drugs at the beginning. They'll take those drugs that have a minimum effect. But then the nafs wants more. The carnal desires wants more. You want something stronger. You want something harder. You want something that'll give you a higher buzz. And what'll happen is you become more and more and more affected by these things. And these drugs will overpower you. Same with adultery. What does Islam say? What does hear people say that, oh, if you're going to have relationships outside of marriage, then take precautions. What does Islam say? No. And again, if you think about it, that prevention, you know, they say prevention is better than the cure. That prevention of all of these illnesses is there so that we don't have these illnesses in the first place. But what are these illnesses, viewers of Malichan, that we mentioned? Adultery, gambling, alcohol, drugs, all of these. What are these? Is when people let the carnal desires take over them. They let them take control of them. And when they let them take control of them, then they're on this road to ruin. And that's what we need to learn. And we need to realize that these are tricks of shaitan, views of Munshan. These are tricks of shaitan that will cause us, to lose our iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, views of Munshan, then after them came the unworthy successors who wasted prayer and they followed their desires. So soon they will encounter the valley Ghor in hell. Allahu Akbar. Commentating on this above mentioned verse that I just mentioned, Allama Jalaluddin Sayyuti Shafi Ramatullah Ta'ala has reported that Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala saying, soon the people of the book and the people of Laban will be destroyed from my ummah. I humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, who are the people of the book? And the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam replied, those who learn this book so that they quarrel with true believers. I humbly said, who are the people of Laban? And the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam said, those who satisfy their desires and waste their salah. Allahu Akbar. Do we waste our salah? Do we satisfy our desires? Ask yourself. Ask yourself, what is our state? What are we doing? Are we letting our desires, our nafs, take control of us? Or are we controlling our nafs? And that's what we need to learn to do, viewers of Malaysia, because our nafs wants it easy. Our nafs wants to do all sorts of things. But your intellect needs to know what is right and what is wrong, and not let your desires take over you. Not let the lust inside you take over you. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. And in the reminder of the day, hopefully, we're going to learn something new. So let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, as-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytwani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madinah, today we talk about some of the unique actions of the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan. The unique action of the Sahaba was that they remained hungry and they lived their lives in this state. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that I used to fall between the pulpit of the beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam and the blessed house of Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha due to severe hunger. Someone used to come and place their foot on my neck. He would regard me as insane, but I was completely sane. Extreme hunger caused this state. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala sallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madinah channel, the Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, they would collapse because of the state of staying hungry. And it's mentioned regarding Sayyidina Fadhil bin Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that when the beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam used to lead the jamaat, the congregation of salah, there were some companions alayhim ridwan who used to fall during salah because of severe hunger. These companions was the Ahle Sufa. The bandsmen used to consider them as insane. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would finish his salah, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to turn towards them and say, if you knew what reward is store for you in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, you would wish that your hunger and poverty would prolong even more. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mandi channel, this was the state of the Sahaba ikram alayhi wa rizwan, that they would remain hungry. This was the unique action of this. They lived a life in such a way that they would spend days and nights in the state of hunger. Some of the companions and saints, rahimahumullah, would stay hungry for many continuous days. In regards to this Hujjatul Islam, Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has stated that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala would not eat anything for 6 days. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala would not eat for 7 days. The student of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala named Abu Jawza radiallahu ta'ala did not eat for 7 days. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi and Sayyidina Sufyan al-Sawri rahmatullah alayhi would remain hungry for 3 days. All these blessed saints rahimahumullah would gain help in walking in the path of the hereafter by means of hunger. So my dear Islam brothers, this was a unique action of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the unique action of the great awliya, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, remained hungry, would not eat anything for a whole year. This was a great miracle of Hazur-e-Baghdad, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani. So my dear Islam brothers, this is such a unique action proven from the lives of the Sahaba, the lives of the awliya, that they would remain hungry for many days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the blessing of this unique action of theirs and bless us with halal sustenance and bless us with uniqueness in our actions also. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, early on, we've been talking about the carnal desires, the lusts, that our nafs that we need to control. And when you hear the word lust, you automatically think about lust for someone physical. Yeah. And in Islam, again, we mentioned before that, you know, in a lot of countries, they will say that, oh, if you're going to have relationships outside of marriage, then, you know, make sure you take precautions. But what does Islam say? Islam says no. And again, Islam is there as a prevention. And Islam, because of Islam, we have what is known as haya. What is known as haya? What is known as modesty. And that is such a quality that we need to have inside us. This haya, this modesty. If we have this, then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla will be successful. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you have, and this is this saying of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you think about it, views on this channel, if you contemplate about this particular hadith for a while, you'll realize that the majority of the problems become because of our loss of our haya. We lose our modesty. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you have lost your haya, if you have lost your modesty, then do whatever you want. And if you think about it, that's what happens. We have no shame. If you have no shame, you do whatever you want. You don't care what people say. You don't care what people think. And you've lost that shame. And because of that loss of shame, that loss of haya, that loss of modesty, you commit all sorts of sins. And this haya, this modesty, is so important within our deen. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indecency disfigures everything and modesty enhances the charm of everything. Allahu Akbar. You know, there's a famous incident that took place in the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which a battle took place, and when the people were, the Muslims were coming back, there was news that people had been made shaheed in the battle. And there was one particular woman, and she had been informed that her son had been made shaheed. Her son had been martyred in the battlefield. And she came out to inquire whether this was true or not. But before she came out, she wrapped herself up. She got a cloak on, she got her abaya on, she got a chadar on, and she covered herself. And when she came out and she found out that yes, indeed, her son had been martyred, someone said to her that when you heard that your son had been martyred and you came out to inquire about the state of your son, you still had this time, this mind to wrap yourself up. Because obviously, you know, when a calamity happens, you don't think straight. You don't think straight, it's true. And this woman was asked that, at that moment in time, how was it that you still had the mind to be able to cover yourself, to get the abaya, to get your chadar, to get all of these things? And her reply, Allahu Akbar, her reply will be used for generations from then until the Day of Judgment, and people will hear this. She replied, Allahu Akbar, I may have lost my son, but I have not lost my haya. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Views of the channel, this is something that if we look at our society now, where we are following our desires, following our lusts, then we see that, you know, this is a breakdown of society, and we see it all around us. But you know, shaitan, the devil, he will not say to you, look, commit adultery. Because he knows that you will, oof, no, I'm not going to commit adultery. Adultery is haram. You know, we all know this. So it's the shaitan will work in various ways, and he'll gradually drag you in. He won't put you on that final podium where you're going to commit adultery straight away. He'll drag you in. And I'll give you an example. You know the mobile phone? Yeah. You see that on mobile phones and social media. You know, people, brothers and sisters, start talking to each other on social media. And when What is this? This social media is, again, it is a weapon that is like a knife. You know, Amir al-Sunnah has mentioned many, many times that internet and certain things, they're like knives. And what are knives? Knives are things that you can use to cut apples, to cut fruit, but also knives are something that you can cut your own throat with. You can cut your own hand with. And so the internet, the social media, and all sorts of things, there are ills there as well. They have positive uses, I'm not doubting that. But at the same time, the problems there is that they can create so many ills as well. Social media, you go into a social media platform, brothers are talking to each other, a sister comes, yeah? And what happens is, she asks a question about Islam. You, what do you do then is you think, you know what, I'll answer her. But I don't want to answer here in this group with everybody yet. I'll privately message her on social media. So you privately message her. Do you know what that is? That's Shaitan strike one. Shaitan is not saying to you, commit adultery. And you're going to think to yourself, well, what's wrong with this? There's nothing wrong if I answer her an Islamic question or if I type, I'm going to be typing a message. Surely there's nothing wrong with that. Typing a message to someone of the opposite sex, what's wrong with that? Nothing you will say. Okay. So you start typing to them. Then as you start talking to them, then personal things start to come out. So where do you live? Okay. How big is your family? Have you got any brothers and sisters? Yeah, and it'll come out that, yeah, well, in my family, my elder brother's married and the rest of us aren't married. Oh, so you're not married yet, are you? Okay, so what college do you go to? What is this? This is Shaitan strike two. That now you've opened the door to this communication, but now what's happening is you're communicating with them and you're not communicating them with them on what would be classed as possibly a professional level. Yeah, on a professional level, you see these professionals that the question that they asked, reply to the answer and khalas, end of. But what happens is we start getting personal now. And this personal level, what is this? This is Shaitan strike two. Then what will happen is, now that you find out a little bit about her, you'll start to want to see her, yeah? But you know you can't see her. Then you think, well, I can talk to her, can't I? And the phone is a parda between me and her. I'm not looking at her. And you think to yourself, well, didn't people of this past speak, you know, between pardas? Yeah, there's parda between them. Then the phone is a parda, so I can speak to her. So you exchange numbers. You start talking to each other. Shaitan strike three. And by this point, Shaitan's starting to get his claws inside you. So Shaitan strike three. So you've got this Shaitan strike three inside you now. And now what happens is, you start to look for opportunities to see her. Are not obviously face to face because your nafs is saying to you, no, that's wrong. Your nafs is saying to you, no, that's wrong. I shouldn't be seeing her. But part of you say, well, I do really. And you look for her, you find out which college she comes to. So you look from a distance, which college she's coming out. You look for a distance, which office she's working at, she's coming out. You know which street she lives in, so you drive up and down that street in the hope that maybe she'll be coming out or going to her house so you can see her. You just want that one glimpse to look at you. Shaitan's plan is now working. He's getting close to his final plan. And then Shaitan says to you, your nafs says to you, what is wrong with meeting this person? Yeah? What is wrong with sitting down and talking? There's nothing wrong with this. I'm mature, I'm strong. Yeah? She is mature, she is strong. She's from an Islamic background. I'm from an Islamic background. I can control my desires. I can control my nafs. And then what will happen is a part of your nafs will then try and argue with you. And this argument will start inside you. No, it's wrong. It is wrong. You should not be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. And this battle inside you will take place. Because part of you knows that this is wrong. But then your nafs will overcome with you. And your nafs will say to you, well, hold on a minute. You know, this is where you need to be very, very careful of using the channel. Because if you're not careful here, then what happens is not only will Shaitan entice you to commit the act of adultery, but Shaitan will also convince you to say such words that will take you out of the fold of Islam. And again, viewers of the channel, like I said at the beginning, when Shaitan first gives you that whisper, he doesn't say commit adultery. He doesn't say make an arrangement to meet this woman. No, let's do it step by step, step by step, step by step. And your desires are overcome, they are taken, and you fall to your carnal desires of your lust, viewers of the channel. And as a result of that, I'm not saying it happens all the time, but in the majority of the times, you fall into the path of destruction. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, and hopefully we can learn something. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani channel, in today's hadith, we're going to learn a dua that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would make very often. And this dua is something that we can implement in our day-to-day activities, in our day-to-day lifestyle as well, and try to memorize this dua as well. The hadith is mentioned in Sunan Abi Dawood that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wal-nifaqi wa-su'il akhlaq, which means that, O Allah, I seek protection from you from disunity, hypocrisy, and evil character. So if you try to memorize this dua as well, implement this and try to recite this whenever we supplicate in the court of Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wal-nifaqi wa-su'il akhlaq. And from this dua, we can understand that disunity, hypocrisy, and evil character are traits which are bad. They are something which is bad in Islam, something that we should try to avoid. And Islam is a way of life. Islam teaches us how to live life at its full. And that is by not having disunity amongst our family members. Unfortunately, today, we see that many families, they have family discord, and brothers are not speaking to their own brothers, sisters are in discord with their own sisters, there's issues going on in the family, domestic abuse, these type of problems, and Islam is completely against that. Islam encourages that we unite the family, that we unite people, that we join and mend relations and not break off ties with anyone. In terms of hypocrisy and evil character, this is things which are even known to be bad amongst even people who are non-believers, people who are non-Muslim. They also accept the fact that hypocrisy and having an evil character is something which is bad. And Islam came to remove this illness of evil character, remove this illness of hypocrisy, and make people become good human beings, good citizens, people who are civilized, and people who bring goodness to the community. So we as a Muslim, inshallah, try to make a benefit towards the community, a good impact, a positive impact through one's character, through one's akhlaq, the way he deals with people, the way he looks at people, the way he talks to people. They should all be on a very just and civilized manner, something that people are attracted towards. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Viewers of Milchan, you're watching Rise and Shine. And on Rise and Shine today, we're talking about the destruction of pursuing lusts, pursuing our carnal desires. Sayyidina Ibn Ashas radiallahu ta'ala narrated that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent a revelation to Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam, and in it he said, undoubtedly the hearts which are connected to worldly desires are away from me. So these worldly desires that we have inside us, these lusts that we have inside us, these carnal desires that we have inside us, they take us away from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 27, translation from Kanzul Iman, and Allah wills to turn toward you with His mercy. But those who indulge in their own pleasures wish that you stay far away from the straight path. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, with regards to the background circumstances and context of the mentioned verse that I just mentioned, that Jews, Christians, and fire worship used to consider it permissible to marry the daughters of their brothers and the sisters. When Allah Azza wa Jalla made it haram to marry them, they started saying, the way you consider it permissible to marry aunts' daughters, whereas maternal and paternal aunts are haram upon you, similarly, marry the brothers' and sisters' daughters. Upon that, the above-mentioned verse was revealed, that those people also want you to fall into adultery like them. And again, viewers of my channel, you know, what you really, as Muslims, we need to be very wary of this. Never think to yourself that what is the norm in society, yeah? And people use the word urf, you know, what is the normality inside, what is happening normally in society? Because it's happening everywhere, it's okay. Yeah? But it's happening everywhere. Everybody's doing it, brother. Everybody's doing it. So what's wrong with it? Because everybody's doing it. No, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean to say it's right. I remember many years ago when here in the UK, the national lottery came out and people started to buy lottery cards. And you know, people were saying, well, everybody's doing it. So if everybody's doing that, what's wrong? Why can't we do it? And there was people there that had, you know, well, he's got a beard. Look, he's got a beard. He goes and reads his namaz. He's doing it. So if he's doing it, it must be okay. If he's doing it, it must be okay. And so what happens is we try to justify these acts by saying everybody else is doing. Well, they're selling alcohol, so what's wrong if I sell alcohol? They're selling alcohol, so what's wrong if I sell it as well? They're running a casino, so what's wrong if I run a casino as well? Now, if one Muslim runs a casino, if one Muslim starts selling alcohol, then it does not make it halal upon you to do this. And we start making excuses. On the day of judgment, when you will be asked, viewers of Mother Inshallah, why? Why did you start selling alcohol? What will your answer be? Well, he was doing it. No. That's not an acceptable answer, viewers of Mother Channel. Not acceptable one iota. Whatever you do in this world, whatever business you own, whatever decisions you make, you need to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And you know, we don't give knowledge its value, viewers of Mother Channel. When you get to a certain age, then it's farther upon you to read your namaz. But at the same time, it is also further upon you to acquire the knowledge of namaz, what breaks your namaz, what you need to learn, and all those sort of things. That's what you need to do. As you get older, then you need to, if you decide to get married, what does my deen tell me about marriage? I remember I'd only been married about 6 months views on the channel. And I was reading a book about marriage and divorce in Islam. And when my father saw the book, he got worried. He goes, well, he said, why are you reading this book? Why are you reading? Well, everything okay? I said, yeah, alhamdulillah, everything's okay. But why are you reading this book then? I said, Father, I'm reading it to acquire the knowledge of the deen. But you don't need to read it. I said, well, no, I do need to read it. I need to know. And again, on a side topic here, viewers of Mother Channel, on a side topic here, with regards to divorce, with regards to talaq, I would advise every Muslim, especially our brothers, to read up on divorce. Because certain things that you can say, certain things that you can do, you can divorce your wife without even knowing it. And there have been so many instances where we've gone to people's houses and they've divorced the wives and they didn't even know they divorced the wives. So acquire that knowledge. And so knowledge is something that we need to acquire. In the same way, as we're coming back to our topic about this knowledge of opening up an alcohol shop or opening up a casino and opening up all these things, why did you not acquire the knowledge that told you this was haram? And again, viewers of the channel, going aside once again, I would request all of our viewers, whatever business you do, whatever business you are doing, in fact, whatever work you are doing, make a phone call to Darul Iftah. Make that phone call. And here in the UK, we have a Darul Iftah as well. And in the Darul Iftah, you can phone up and you can say to the scholars there, to the muftis, that this is what I'm doing. I'm selling cups. I'm buying and selling cups. Is there anything wrong with that? And hopefully, inshallah, they'll say, yeah, nothing wrong with it. And then I'll have peace of mind. But there's nothing wrong in me selling cups. But are you going to make that phone call? Or again, are you going to let your nafs take over you? Because your nafs knows, deep down your nafs knows that is wrong what I'm doing. But if I make that phone call, then it's going to be harder for me then, isn't it? So I don't want to make that phone call. I'm going to follow my carnal desires. I'm going to follow my nafs and ignore making that phone call. Ignore that advice that I've just been given to find out with what I'm doing is halal, haram. I'm going to ignore that. And then I'm okay, Anna, because I don't know. I don't know if it's halal or haram. So it's okay, isn't it? No, it's not okay. On the day of judgment, when it will say to you that you had the facility, you had the option to find out. And if you did not, why did you not go and find out yourself? Why did you not go and try and find out? You know, if you look at the people of the past viewers of Mother Channel, they used to travel hundreds of miles to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And maybe, I sometimes think to myself that maybe the value of knowledge has fallen because knowledge is easily obtainable. You know, they say that precious metals. Why are they precious? Because they're hard to obtain. Why are they precious? Because they're low in quantity around the world. There's not much available, and that's why they become precious. Knowledge was something that was hard to find in the past, and so it was valued. But nowadays, unfortunately, we don't value knowledge. And whether there is excessive knowledge or not, we should still value knowledge, and we should acquire this knowledge of the deen. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. We're just going to take a small break now, inshallah. Please, when we come back, inshallah, we'll continue on this topic as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Islam brothers, today's piece of advice is regarding the zikr of Allah. Try to spend your day and night in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many benefits of being involved in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, there are signs of loss and destruction for those who do not do the zikr of Allah. And this just does not just occur with human beings, but even animals, when they are not involved in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get captured. And in regards to this, there is a very interesting story. Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi was given a bird as a gift, and he put that bird in a cage and he kept that bird. After keeping for a while, Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi let the bird go free. People said, Hazur, why did you let the bird go free? Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi replied, he said, the bird played with me. Oh Junaid, sorrow you receive joy with your friends, but you keep me locked up in this cage and keep me away from my friends, greeting my friends. Hazrat Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi says that I felt sympathy for it and I let the bird go free. Whilst the bird was flying away, it said, birds or animals, as long as they are uttering the praise of Allah azza wa jalla, they are free. When they get careless, they get caught. Oh Junaid, I was careless of the remembrance of Allah azza wa jalla just for a short time, and look at his punishment that I got locked up in this cage. Imagine what would happen to all the people that are mostly are negligent of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Junaid, I promise sincerely before you that I shall never again be negligent of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying this, that bird flew away. And he's mentioned that that bird would come to do the ziyarah, would come to see Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, and would pick the seed from the food mat of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. When Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh passed away, that bird also fell into the ground shaking and went cold dead. After the death of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, someone saw Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh in his dream and asked, how was Allah treating you? Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh replied, because I had mercy on that bird, Allah also had mercy upon me. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers, great pieces of advice can be taken from this little waqia. That birds, even animals, when they are away from the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal, they get caught. And if you just imagine and just think, today we as humans, the best of the creations of Allah azza wa jal, as humans, we are away from His remembrance, who has given us so much bounties, who has blessed us with so many blessings, and yet we are away from His remembrance. Today, when someone goes into a difficulty, into a problem, he moves even away, more away from the remembrance of Allah. My dear son brothers, if we want our difficulties, our problems to be removed, then we should come closer, more closer to the remembrance of Allah. And inshaAllah, not only we will save ourselves from the difficulties of this dunya, but also inshaAllah, we will save ourselves from the difficulty of the afterlife. Keep yourself busy in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to spend your days and your nights in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you are at home, whether you are at work, spend your time in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshaAllah, the more time which we spend in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more this will benefit us. The pious people, rahimahumullah, they would consider and value that time. They would consider each and every moment of their time valuable. When they would have to eat, they would feel sad that in this time we cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are busy in eating. So my dear Islam brothers, we have so much time with us. Try to spend your time in the remembrance of the Creator, the Almighty Allah azza wa jal. May Allah azza wa jal give us the ability to remember Him as much as we can.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about the destruction of pursuing Allah, following our carnal desires. And just, we're going to give you some hadith now that condemning our evil desires so that people can deal with this deadly epidemic successfully in our lives. You know, it is an epidemic. You know, today we're talking about epidemics that are going around the world, these pandemics, these epidemics. But this is something that's affecting us. And it's a hidden disease. It's a disease that we don't even know is there. And it's not like, you know, a fever where you can get a thermometer and put it in your mouth and say, okay, I've got a temperature. You really need to sit down and ask yourselves. You need to be your personal doctor and examine yourself and say, look, who is controlling who here? Am I controlling my desires? or am I letting my desires control me? Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam said, Jannat is nearer to any of you than the strap of your shoe, and so is hell, i.e. very close. However, Jannat has been covered up with troubles and hell has been covered up with desires and pleasures. Allahu Akbar. In the same way, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam said, the wise is the one who makes an assessment and accountability of his nafs and prepares for the life after death, and a foolish person is the one who surrenders to the temptation of his nafs and he has hopes in Allah Azza wa Jal, divine blessings. So as we said before, the wise person is the one that contemplates and thinks to himself that, what am I doing? Where am I going? What should I be doing? Am I letting my desires overcome me? Am I letting my desires control me? You know, I just want to, for one second here, viewers of my channel, I just want to explain to you paradise and hell. You know, every Muslim wants to attain paradise. But unfortunately, our acts are such that we're going towards the hellfire. And there's reasons for this, viewers of my channel. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala said that when Allah Azza wa Jal created Jannat, he created Jannat and he created Jahannam. When he created the heaven and he created the hell, he sent Jibreel al-Islam to the Jannat. He sent him to the heaven and he said to him, look at heaven and look at its blessings, what I have preferred for the inhabitants of Jannat. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibreel al-Islam, he went and he arrived and he saw the blessings of Jannat. He saw the blessings of paradise, what Allah Azza wa Jal had prepared for him. And when he came to the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, indeed, I take an oath by your majesty and highness. Whoever will hear of it must try to enter it. Then Allah Azza wa Jal gave the order for it to sound it with hardships and troubles. He then said to Jibreel Islam, go back to Jannat and look at its blessings, what I have prepared for it. The noblest Rasul said, so he returned to it and he found it surrounded by hardships. He found it surrounded by hardships and problems there. And when he came back, and he said, Ya Allah, I'm afraid that no one will enter paradise because of the troubles and calamities that are surrounding it. Then, when he created the hellfire, he sent Hazrat Jibreel Islam to go and look at the hellfire. And when Hazrat Jibreel Islam went there and he saw the tortures and the punishments and the fire, he came back and he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, nobody will want to enter the hellfire if it's within their control. And then Allah Azza wa Jal covered the hellfire with desires and pleasures. And he said, go back and now look. And when Hazrat Jibreel Islam went and saw that hell was covered in desires and pleasures, he came back and he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm afraid that everybody will end up in the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. Commenting on this hadith, Allama Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala said that lusts refer to those worldly ailments and activities which derive pleasure, whether it is directly opposed and condemned by the Sharia or it causes leaving any divine commandment. Even doubtful acts and those mubah permissible acts which may lead to haram fall under lust. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man cannot become pious until he abandons permissible acts in order to save himself from impermissible acts. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Controlling your nafs. And if you think about it, use them. Again, Muslims are blessed that once a year for the whole year, we are asked to self-discipline ourselves even more. And Islam, again, the beauty of Islam is about self-discipline. If only we understand. Self-discipline every single day, 5 times a day. 5 times a day standing before your Rabb. 5 times a day doing your salah. That is discipline if we do it on time. Then once a year, we're told to discipline ourselves even more. During the holy month of Ramadan, discipline ourselves that, you know, drinking tea, eating food is a halal for us. But during that month, between dawn and dusk, it is haram for us to eat. We should be fasting. And so now you are controlling yourself. And the whole idea of that month of years of Manishan is self-discipline, self-control. And the beautiful month also is wrapped up in, not only are we being taught self-discipline and self-control, but also this beautiful month is wrapped up with so much blessings that, you know, whatever deed you do there, any nafal act is like a fard, any fard act is 70 times more. The sawab is so much greater. We have the itikaf, we have the Laylatul Qadr, we have these beautiful nights. But at the same time, the purpose of that month is self-discipline and control. So viewers of the channel, we need to learn this self-discipline and control. Learn to control our nafs. And viewers of the channel, you've been watching Rise and shine today. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that during this program, we've learned that there is a part of us, there is something inside us that we need to control. Yeah? And it's sometimes people have this hard to imagine that there's something there that we need to control. Your desires need to be controlled. You know, and you have these desires. And you know, I'll give you an example. You know, when a doctor says to you that you have, you know, a sugar illness, you have cholesterol, you've got high sugar, you need insulin, or whatever it is, yeah, you've got diabetes, then what happens is you see a cream cake there. You want to eat it. Your nafs is saying to you, I want to eat that cream cake. Why? Because it's really, really tasty. I remember having them cream cakes, they were really, really nice. But then what happens? You control your desire. Why? Because you know that yes, the taste is there. Yes, I will enjoy eating it, but ultimately, it is destruction for me. It's going to cause damage to me. It's going to cause my health to deteriorate. So I leave that. So you control your nafs. Pizzas, burgers, you've got cholesterol, you see it there, and you think, oh, you know what, I fancy a burger. But you also know that if you eat that burger, that greasy burger and all that grease, then greasy chips and greasy fries and all that greasy food, it's going to affect your health. So your nafs is saying, eat that burger, but then you say, no, I'm not. So you control your nafs. Because why? Because you know that although that is nice, although you're going to enjoy it, that short-term pleasure that you're going to have ultimately is going to be destruction for you. In the same way, viewers of Manishal, when our desires want to drink alcohol, when our desires want to take drugs, when our desires want to gamble, when our desires want to commit adultery, you should also say to yourselves, yes, I may enjoy it. And people say that, and yes, I will agree with you. You enjoy it. You enjoy drinking. You enjoy gambling. You enjoy taking them drugs. You enjoy committing adultery. But ultimately, in the same way that these burgers and cakes are ultimately a destruction to your health, these are ultimately a destruction to your soul and a destruction to your hereafter as well. I'm going to finish with this views on the channel. Never commit a sin for the sake of pleasure. For that pleasure will disappear and the sin will stay with forever. Never leave a good deed for the sake of hardship, because that hardship will disappear and the good deed will stay with forever. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we can all reflect on what we've heard today, myself included, that I can learn to control my nafs, control my desires, and I pray that we can all do this. And if we keep watching Madani Channel, if we keep traveling in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, if we keep acquiring the knowledge of the deen, then we'll have them tools, yes, tools, them weapons, if you want to call them tools and them weapons that we have, that inshallah Azza wa Jal will protect us from the desires of our nafs, protect us from the whispers of shaitan. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.